the Lord was saying to me, why'd you choose that? And I'm like, I don't know. Come on, we're like little kids when the Lord's saying something to us we didn't really want to hear, right? I don't know. They did it. I didn't do it. How many of you know when you were kids, not me did everything, right? The Lord said, I had a greater revelation, but I'll go with it if that's what you really want to do. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I want to do what you want to do, and whatever I wanted to do, we'll just, as Beverly would say, we'll kick it to the curb. I'm not interested in what I want. I'm interested in what you want. So we were down there in Corinth, and we were going through the steps to revival, and we were learning and going through our sin list and stuff. And the Lord said to me, passing from death into life. And his message today to you is to choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For Yahweh is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And we read over the verses. We just read right over that. Whew. He's telling you to choose life so that you can hear his voice. What on earth could possibly be more important to you than hearing the voice of the living God? What could possibly be more important to you than the opportunity to see his face? I was talking to Rockman last night. He asked about our vision. And I gave him the short form, and then I gave him the long form. That's the way you do it in Jewish thinking. The Bible gives you the short form, then it comes along the next chapter and gives you the long form. I was in the Worldwide Church of God for many, many years. Followed that up with a stint in the United Church of God. As a matter of fact, we started that congregation in our living room. Started more churches just like them. We obeyed for the sake of obedience. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. The Lord does not want you to obey just for the sake of obedience. He wants you to obey so that he can have an intimate, personal relationship with you. When you are disobeying God, there's only so much he's going to do for you. Because, you know, fire goes out from around him and burns up the unrighteous. And if you're walking in unrighteousness, you get burned up if he comes too close. This day of unleavened bread, right here in 2011, he's setting before you life and death. As we go through this message, we're going to spend most of our time in the red letter words of Jesus. And he's going to show you how you can have life. The revelation that he gave to me was very simple. As Christians, we think that once we come up and say some silly little sinner's prayer, that we have everything in the Bible that it says we should have. It says you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you ask amiss. The Lord is telling you to choose life. It's going to be a choice with a demonstration of the Spirit's power today. And when you walk out of here, it's going to be a choice in your daily life and everything you do. Because when you're obeying him for a closer relationship, when you're obeying, the Rockman said it in the lesson. It's very, very simple. It's all about Yada, and I have the children to prove it. There's fruit that comes from your life. Because of an intimate, close relationship with him. There's fruit that comes in your life because you hear his voice. There's fruit that comes because you've seen his face. There's fruit that comes because you've been on the sea of glass and stood in the presence. There's fruit that comes from your intimate and personal experiences. And part of the fruit of that life and those experiences, a more consecrated and holy walk with God. Because you want it again. Turn to Romans chapter 3. You choose life by learning the great law of the living God and conforming your life to it. You know, when you go to traditional churches in the Sunday world, They don't spend much time talking about the law of God, except when they tell you it's done away. Can you find one verse in the New Testament that says the law of God is done away? It's not there, folks. I say it over and over again in the books. I say it over and over again in the messages. The Holy Bible is the greatest story never told, and nobody wants to crack the book open to look at it and see it. It's fantastic, the things that God has laid out in this book. No eye has seen and no ear has heard the things that are in store for those that love God and keep His commandments. When you cut off the commandment keeping, you've cut off everything. But they're not the end, they're a means to an end. How did Rockman put it? Brother, are you telling me if we use the same recipe to bake a cake, we'll get the same cake? Yes, I am. And I'm telling you that in this book right here, he tells you all the steps you need to have the God encounter of a lifetime that will leave you coming out of here wide-eyed and freaked out. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Every one of us have at one point in our life turned away from the living God. Together, the whole sum of humanity has become worthless. There is no one who has done good, not even one. Every one of our throats have been open graves, and every one of our tongues have practiced deceit. The poison of vipers has been upon our lips, and our mouths have been full of cursing and bitterness. We could have done it, but we didn't come to God to do it. We went our own way. Every one of us ate from the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Every one of us has decided for ourselves what's good and what's evil. Every one of us has said, I know more than God, and I'm going to do it my way because I'm going to show Him I'm worthy. God's not impressed. He's not ever going to be impressed. He has given us the way in this book, and Yeshua Messiah did not come to change the way, ratify your way. He came to show you God's way. And to set your feet back on the path. He came to redeem you from death and to reset you back on that same ancient path. There's only one way to God. The instructions in this Bible. I've spent a lot of time over the last several... I mean, most of you aren't new. Most of you who've even come in just for this festival have been getting our CDs. I've spent a lot of time showing you how people have seen the face of the living God and are alive to tell about it, or were. If you go to the book of John, he stood on the sea of glass and looked in the Father's face on the emerald throne. We didn't ever go to that one. He lived to write it. And he lived a long time after because he lived long enough to be put out of the church for such nonsense. In their eyes, the Holy Bible has everything you need to choose life and have the life of the very God in heaven in your flesh. None of us was born with life within ourselves. We're not turning there, but Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And here from Romans, we read that every one of us has been consigned to sin because every one of us broke God's laws and commandments. And worse, if you go to chapter 1, it says we even encouraged others to do so back in the day. We've got to come to Him to have life. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who were under the law. So that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Every mouth silenced. Therefore no one will be declared righteous in His sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. It doesn't mean the law is done away, folks. It just means that your law keeping is never going to get you in the kingdom of heaven. It means your law keeping is so flawed and insufficient, you're never, ever going to prove your net worth to God by your law keeping. Rather, your law keeping should show you your deficiency so that you can turn to Christ to receive life. Every one of us could have done it. but none of us did it. We live in a body of death. Come on, some of us are getting older now. As you get older, you really realize how dead your body really is and how fast it's coming apart. People say, oh no, Pastor Bell, it's not true. You used deodorant today, didn't you? Where do you think the smell comes from? Every one of us lives in a body of death. Your body is dying right now, just at a real slow rate. And we do things to it to accelerate it at times and decelerate it at times, but you're still dying. Why are you dying? Because you sinned in your body. You sinned in it. You went and you broke God's laws and commandments, just like I did, of your own free will and on purpose. Come on. I just read it. No one got out. No one. We need life. As long as we're walking around thinking we've got life, we're dead men walking. As long as we're walking around here thinking I don't need life, you're still lost in your sin and you haven't even begun to fathom the work of Yeshua Messiah to redeem you from your body of death. And this day is all about your redemption. This day is all about your redemption. But you need life. And God told you to choose life. John chapter 5. You've got to recognize you're in a body of death because of your sins, your transgression of Torah. Now let me ask you a little question. We get saved. We get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We pray in tongues and we have a demonstration of the Spirit's power when we lay hands on people. What makes you think from that point and that position that you can go out and continue to break God's laws and commandments, which commands death in your life? How can you work on Shabbat after you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and expect anything good to happen? I don't care how much seed you plant and whose ministry you plant it in. If you're working on Shabbat, you're importing death into your body. You don't keep the holy days. You might as well cut your own head off. You can't break God's laws and commandments with the gifts of the Spirit and expect that anything other than utter devastation is going to happen in your flesh. Verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. There's no other way to achieve life. Saying the sinner's prayer did not get you life. Saying the sinner's prayer gets the blood of Jesus to cover your sin. But we have not because we ask not. He gives life to those whom He's pleased to have it. He gives the life. He's the only entity in everything that exists that's going to give you life, because the Father's given Him the authority to do it, because He lived in a body of flesh the same as you, yet He was willing to overcome the temptation to sin. Therefore, as it says in verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. You can't get life any other way. We all quote the verse all the time. There's no way to get to the Father but by Him. We need life. We do not have life in us. We need life in us. We talked about the Holy Spirit being the sperma of the Father, but we're still carrying around a body of death. We need life in us. I pondered this a long time after the Lord showed me this. A long time. And I'm not sure I have every angle worked out in the Scriptures. But I know this. You get a chance today to choose life if you want it. And we're going to go through enough Scriptures to show you that you need it, and that you can have it, and that it's available to you today if you want it. Like I said before, we want to attain life by our own human myths. We want to tell the living God how we're going to do thus and such to please Him and make Him want to do it. That's the folly of Adam. That's the folly of Cain. I'm going to earn it on my own because I'm such a great person. Not going to do it. God doesn't care how great you are. It's like the Starkist commercial. God doesn't want tunas with good taste. He wants tunas that taste good. And the only thing that tastes good to Him is His Son. When we want to do it of our own accord, we're still eating snake. We're supposed to get rid of snake and eat the lamb. We should hate snake flavor already. We should be desiring the lamb. We will not, we cannot, we may not attain life on our own. Yeshua gives us life after we surrender to Him. There's no other way to get it. But I want to maintain control. You can't maintain control because you did not honor Him with that control by living His laws and commandments. Once you became a sinner, your control in your life was already over. And you gave it to the devil. And you're not ever going to have control of your life and your flesh and your mind and your will and your emotions ever again. You can be redeemed by Yeshua Messiah, and He will have that control for eternity. Or you will stay in the thralls of the snake. It's which way you want to go. You can either choose the lamb or you can choose the snake. The choice is up to you. But you do not have a third choice. You do not have the choice to say, I'm in control of my own mind, my own will, and my emotions. Either Jesus is or the snake is. There's no other choice. John chapter 5, verse 24. We must surrender to Him unconditionally. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. And that's what we're here to talk about today. How to cross over from your body of death into a life that can never die. Your body is going to die because you sinned in it, but your personhood is not defined by your flesh. Your personhood is defined by the living soul and the spirit that's in you. We're talking about choosing the life so that your spirit can be irrevocably joined to the spirit of the living God. Jesus has already died the second death, and He can never die again. If you can come to that place of yada and intimacy with the living Messiah, and your spirit becomes irrevocably joined with Him, since He can't die, you won't be able to either. You've got to make that point of yada. And once you make the point of yada, you've got to realize I have to consecrate myself now. You know, in a Jewish wedding after the betrothal, the bride would take a mikvah, which basically is identical to our baptism. And it was done to show that she would be ritually pure for her husband until he returns. The Passover service is very similar and is laid out along the same line as the Jewish betrothal service. As a matter of fact, if you go to a Messianic Jewish Seder for the Passover, at the conclusion of the service, written in the Passover book underneath it says, the bride is now veiled. That means you got to keep yourself pure. You got to keep yourself pure. You can't go eat the ham sandwich. You can't go and eat the things He says not to eat. You can't work on Shabbat. I don't care what your job says. Are you willing to burn in the lake of fire forever over your job? You can't skip the holy days anymore. You've got to conform to be holy and consecrated because He has the life. And He's going to give it to those who will consecrate themselves to be holy. Do you believe? The word for believe is pistuio, and it means those people who have the mental acknowledgement that is followed by an action required of that mental acknowledgement. So when you say, oh, I believe, and then you turn around and go do something contrary to God's law, you demonstrated to you and everybody and God Almighty that you did not believe. No faith. Faith requires that you take the action. If you have faith that He is the one sent by the Father, then you have to keep the Sabbath. Amen. If you have faith that He's the Son of God, you can't miss the holy days. If you have faith that He's the Son of God, then you must first and second tithe. You don't get a choice. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and it's now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Do you hear His voice? Are you still walking among the dead? John chapter 10, we're not turning there. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? He didn't say my sheep might hear my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice and they will follow me when I call. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? And if you spend enough time in the presence of the Lord, under the Lord's talit, to understand it and hear it clearly, have you spent enough time in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can discern the difference between His voice and your own thoughts? Have you made the prerequisite mistakes enough to tell the difference? You didn't get that. When you first start hearing from the voice of the Lord, you can't discern it all that well, and you do make mistakes, and those mistakes are for you to analyze and evaluate so that you can tell the difference between His voice and your thoughts. Come on now, you gotta spend some time doing this. It don't just come to you immediately the first time you try it. This is something that you've got to become experienced in. For as the Father has life in Himself. So you're not, we read over this. We read right over it. Zoom! I want you to slow down, break it down. The Father has life in Himself. And the Father is the source of all life. Life! Aren't you sick of death already? One time I had a vision. And it was in Brownsville, Tennessee. I wasn't in Brownsville, but the vision was in Brownsville. There's a train track in Brownsville, very important part of the city. A lot of stuff built around it. And I'm standing there by the train tracks and the train is rolling. It's a long train. And all the cars have glass walls. And it's the death scene or a scene at the gravesite of so many people. Car after car after car is rolling down. Family members weeping at a graveside or family members weeping at the deathbed of somebody who's passing away. Car after car. All time ages. The 1800s. The Middle Ages. The ancient times. Modern times. Hospital rooms. Time. Car after car after car of the dead and the dying. The Lord spoke to me and He said, how long, son of man, how long must this go on before you bring it to a close? We've got to choose life. We've got to choose life. We've got to choose life. And we've got to be willing to take His life and live it in our body, demonstrating to those people out there. Rock said it so eloquently yesterday. When the moon is full, the sun represents Yeshua Messiah, whose face shines like the sun. The church is represented by the moon, which is supposed to be reflecting the light of Messiah in a dark world. And we, at the holy days, are supposed to be the full moon, fully conveying His light in the darkness. But we've got to let Him put His life in us. And we've got to be willing to kick ourselves to the curb. And what did ourselves ever do for us anyway? Come on, think about it for a minute. We live ourselves and all it ever does is blow up in some big problem. We've got to learn to get rid of ourselves and bring His self in. So that, I know that's improper English. So that we can reflect His image in a dying world. Because the dead and the dying are multiplying rapidly. The Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. Yeshua had that life before He was born of a woman, but it had to be granted to Him by the Father once He was born of Mary. And the Father has granted that life in Himself to Yeshua. And then He has given us Yeshua the authority to judge every human being who's ever lived and to decide when and at what point in your life He will allow you to have that life. To look, everybody didn't get to make Rockman's teaching. I don't have time to teach everything over again. But a lot of things that you heard Him say yesterday about how Adam was made to be the Mashiach, the Son of God, before he sinned. The tree of life would have given Adam life within himself. The tree of life was cut off to mankind because God is not going to allow us to have life within ourselves while we still love to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. We have to surrender to Him at a demonstration of the Spirit's power for Him to grant us to have life within ourselves, because this is too powerful to put into a being who sins. And if you don't believe me, go look at HaSatan, who has life within himself and is in permanent opposition to the Most High God, and who's going to have to be contained in a dark hole forever. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good will rise to live, and those who've done evil will rise to be contemned. How long do your brothers and sisters that have the Spirit of the living God have to wait with their bodies in a grave, waiting on us to get our act together and receive life so that they can be brought up? We're in overtime, gang. We're holding it up. We're holding it up. There remains a time for a people of God to consecrate themselves, to carry the holy fire, to be able to walk into hospitals and their shadows fall like Peter's did. It's waiting on us to finally get our act together. It's waiting on us to finally take this serious. Our prophets have been screaming this now for 6 months. I'm not saying anything new. Our prophets have been screaming, the time is short, I want to come now, get your act together so this thing can go forward. And we're still piddling and trifling and playing along. Who gives a rip about your retirement? Who gives a rip about your job? Who gives a rip about your house? Who gives a rip about all the things that we worry about? Because you know what? If we can get this thing together and get a critical mass of 12 people who are Torah observant and Spirit-filled with the life of Jesus living in them, we will turn the world upside down for this, the message of the coming kingdom of God. But if the kingdom of God is not living in your flesh and you can't demonstrate the power thereof, nothing moves until we get that point. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, but my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, for he am who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. I'm going too far. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. I want to show you about this life. This life. This life. We have to believe. We have to surrender our will to Yeshua. When, Romans 14, verse 9, when is your food going to be to do the will of him who sent you? When is your food, your sustenance, the things that make you, give you your drive and make you the person that you are, when is it going to be to do the will of the Father to spread Torah observance in a Spirit-filled package? When is it going to be to proclaim, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand? You know, they downgraded the sovereign debt of the United States yesterday. What about when the interest rates go to 45%? You know, it's impossible to pay off the debt of the United States. It is impossible over the next 1,000 years to pay off the debt of the United States. Eventually, the creditors of the United States are going to take it over, partition it, and sell the inhabitants as slaves to pay the debt. That's in Isaiah. You realize that's coming, right? You just don't want to be sold to the Chinese, brother. Just let me tell you, you just don't want to be sold to the Chinese. Romans 14, verse 9. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. He's the God and the judge of the dead and the living. Every single human being is in his hands, and we owe him everything. Our entire existence, we owe to him. How can you hold back? How can you say, nah, I'll do it my way? Really? Why would you even want to? He's holding you in the palm of his hand. There's no better place to be, except when we decide to jump off. No one can steal you out of his hands. It's up to you whether you stay or you jump off. We make the choice to go astray. Romans chapter 8. And he's still calling on you to choose life. I'm telling you, choose him. Choose him. Come to him and get life. Come to him and ask him, Lord, put your life in me. We used to start the closing service. Can't get my two singers to sing it for me anymore. But we used to start the closing worship on the day of Passover with a little Hebrew song called L'Kayam Be'Yeshua, which means the life of Jesus in me. That's one of the more powerful prayers you'll ever pray in your life. The life of Jesus in me. The life of, that's what we need. Because if the life of Jesus is not in us, we're dead men walking. We already read it. He said we have no life in us if we don't have his life in us. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body may be dead because you sinned in it. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then the Father who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit which lives in you. We died because of our transgressions of Torah, so of a certainty we cannot live without Torah. We died because of our transgressions of Torah. It is without question that we cannot live if we still want to transgress the Torah. The Torah is so easy. But the Torah cannot bring us back to life from the dead. That's why Paul was talking about how the very sin that I hate kills me. Transgression of Torah kills you. It is the Spirit that brings you back to life. Okay? Concept you must grasp. You sin, you die. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, brings you back to life. You can't keep transgressing Torah, folks. Grace is not a license to carry on. Grace is the covering you need while you learn how. Grace that is sufficient for you is so that you can make the mistakes and learn from them while you are wholly striving to get your flesh in conformity to His will. It's not a license. We need it. We got to have it. The Spirit is how we get life. But that does not mean we can violate the Torah. Because openly violating Torah without repentance is death and the second death, and there is no resurrection from there. The Torah is not life. It is how we must live our life. The life comes from Yeshua, who is the living Torah. You see the connection there? If you want the life of Jesus to live in you, then you have to become a living Torah. Jesus said, or the writer of Hebrews said for Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is supposed to write His laws on your heart and brand them into your mind. You are supposed to become a living Torah. I believe Rock said this yesterday. You are supposed to become a living Torah so that when people look at your life, they're seeing how it's to be lived out in your life. Rock was talking to me yesterday about how our Jewish brothers don't understand why we want to live all that. I know Kyra's going through a lot of those troubles at work now. She's got a boss who's not observant. And he's like, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? I'm not even doing it. You're not even Jewish. I think she really messed up when she called him Goyim, though. I did the same thing to my uncle. You know, he's over there eating the bratwurst, and I'm like, hey, I'm the German, and you're the Jew, so why am I following your dietary laws, and you're eating the bratwurst? Kyra just called her boss Goyim. Well, you're just a Goyim. It really is accurate what she said, because the word Goyim means without covenant and apart from God in the world. That's what Goyim means. And a Jewish person who's not living the Torah is out of covenant and apart from God in the world. We can't afford that. If we're going to be believers in Yeshua Messiah and pray in tongues and have a demonstration of the Spirit's power and move in the Spirit and worship on our face, we cannot afford to be goyim without covenant and apart from God in the world. Rather, because we have the demonstration of the Spirit's power, we should be demonstrating to the Jewish nation and everybody else on planet Earth how the Torah is supposed to be lived. Because when you carry the Holy Ghost and you transgress Torah, you're making God out to be a liar. There can be no life in that. There can be no life in that. Luke chapter 24. Once we cross over into life, we must embrace the Torah on a permanent basis. The Torah is not the life, it's how we live the life. The life comes from Yeshua Messiah. But you can't have His life and live apart from His law. It's not possible. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Are you still among the dead? Are you still among the dead? Or have you crossed over into life with the life of Yeshua Messiah living in you? Do people look for you among the dead because they can't tell the difference? They went looking for Yeshua. He told them on the third day He was out of there. He told them on the third day He was out of there, right? So why were they going back to the tomb? Did He not tell them, "When I rise, I will go ahead of you into Galilee"? Why after the crucifixion didn't they just load up the donkeys and head to Galilee? There is a mountain that Raina's film shows called Eremos Mountain. And it's where Jesus often went to pray. If we get to go to Israel, we got to go to Eremos Mountain. Why weren't they waiting for Him there? See, belief requires an action that follows. And they didn't take the action. Because when they saw Him die, they didn't remember everything. Because they didn't have life yet. What do you got? If the Lord tells you to be at thus and such place after a traumatic event's going to take place, are you going to let the traumatic event take away your faith and your belief in Yeshua Messiah? Or are you going to be on point, ready to execute His will at the predestined place? Come on. When you're told that I'm going to go ahead of you to thus and such a place, then you need to be at the place, right? He's told you to choose life. Are you ready to choose life? Let me ask you a little question. Are you ready to walk in His life? It's not going to be like your life. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Are you ready to walk with a heaven's eye view of things? Because this life is not going to be remembered. Y'all didn't get that. Come on, we in Spirit-filled church. This life is not going to be remembered. It says when we get into the kingdom of God, the former things will be remembered no more. This life is not going to be remembered. We want to look back at this or that in our life and hold on to it and remember all this stuff. None of it's going to be remembered anymore. It's the only thing that's going to be remembered is your life in Him, in the kingdom of God. A little different perspective on it. We want to hold on and cling to it. Some of us are a little older, we realize, I don't want this body anymore. I mean, I'll take care of it as long as I'm driving it, but you know, I got a new one coming. The teeth will be straight. And it ain't going to hurt. Huh? I want the new model. I'm ready to trade in. Amen? Some of y'all still driving a new model and you hadn't thought about trading in because this guy still got the new car smell and everything. I'm ready for a trade in, baby. I'm ready for a trade in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Have you come to Yeshua to receive life? We have not because we ask not. We ask not because we didn't even realize that it was there. And those of us who thought it was there didn't even realize how to get it because we never thought of it. We just read over it. Zoom. I believe James was talking last night about how to slow down and observe a lot of things. We just drive on past. Just slow down. That was Rock was doing, and all of his teaching was just slow down and break the words down. Don't be so quick to read these sentences. Let's work on them for a little while. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? The letter brings death because we broke it. The Torah doesn't bring death if you live by it. The Torah brings death when you break it. I pick on four items. I mean, there's a lot more than four items in the Torah. You know, if you find your neighbor's stuff, you've got to restore it to him. It's not finders, keepers, losers, weepers. It's, oh, this is my brother's, and I must try to get it back to the rightful owner. There's a lot of stuff in the Torah we don't talk about all the time. The Lord impressed on me 2 days ago that we're going to start really going through the rules for the Levites and the priest. We're going to start really going through the rules for the Levites and the priest. Because you've been called to be a priest of God Most High, you can't be walking around like a normal person. For a long time, we just tried to get you just to start keeping the basic tenets of the law and living that lifestyle. But now we've got to get you to where you're in a consecrated state. Because you know what? The powers and the signs and the wonders are not going to follow those who aren't walking a consecrated life. See, we want all the stuff, but we're not always willing to go through what we got to go through to get it. We read over what it says in here and we claim it. We name it and we claim it. But no one can show me a verse where it says name it and claim it. I see verses where if you want the promises of God, then you do what He required you to do to obtain them. It's always, if you do this, then I'll do that. It's always, if you do this, then I'll do that. Over and over again, if, then, if, then, if, then. We always claim the thens and then we trash the if. If you want to walk in apostolic power, you've got to live a more consecrated life in the Torah. And you've got to receive a more aggressive and powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was given to them. But God is no respecter of persons. He'll give it to you. Now, I read in the Bible where it says, the signs and wonders that follow those of us that live at the end of the age will be greater than those who started the whole thing off in the beginning. I read that the last will be first and the first will be last. And it's impossible to look at this world and realize we're not last. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Brings righteousness because the Spirit of God is going to give you what you need to walk out His Torah and demonstrate it to the world. Righteousness all through the Bible means living right by Torah. We want to take that part away. We want to claim that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, no, you were called to be the righteousness of God in Christ. He does not automatically just flip the switch and make you the righteousness of God in Christ. You choose to be the righteousness of God in Christ by your actions. People say, we're nothing, we're nothing, we're nothing. Well, I was nothing when I came in the door. But after 25 years of God working on me, I'm a little better than nothing right now. And I would hope that after a year or 6 months of coming in this way of life, that you're seeking and attaining the righteousness of God in Christ, which is a little better than nothing. Actually, the righteousness of God in Christ that should be living in us and demonstrated by our daily lives is greater than all the world. Who wants the things of the world? They're fleeting. You sign with Tophet, you get to walk down the light, and you come in the limo, and they all flash the cameras at you, and everybody says, oh, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so. And then a couple years later, they got a new one, and you're gone. Has been. Done. We don't care about you anymore. Got the new one coming in. Oh, there, the big ticket right there. That's the world, man. They don't give you anything. They don't take more from you than you get. This is God. The righteousness of God in Christ is permanent. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's called gold, refined in the fire of your trials. As you obey God under duress, as you're willing to lose your job because the Holy Spirit's welling up in you and you're saying, my, you die with Yeshua is more important than that stinking job. I'll do something else. My, you die with God is more important than people making fun of me because I want to live this way of life. Oh, you're just a Judaizer. Well, yeah, I am. Ha! Your Yadah and your intimacy It's the key to get to see His deity, and it's got to be more in front of you, more important to you than when they make fun of you because you won't eat the pork. Look, we live in the South. That's a real big deal here, right? Anywhere you go somewhere and they bring out the pork and you say no, you might as well have blasphemed the Holy Ghost in most people's minds because that's the same thing to them. If you don't eat pork in the South, man, they want to take you out and stone you right now. It's just over. For those of you who don't live in the South, you just don't realize how important their pork is to them, man. I used to live by a little barbecue house called the Pig House, and you ought to see them line up after church on Sunday. I'm thinking these people are telling me that they are Christians, followers of Yeshua Messiah, that they're powerful in word and deed, and they're righteous, and they line up blocking the two streets getting in to eat pork on Sunday after church. So not only are they inconveniencing and putting all kind of people out of place because they can't drive up and down the road blocked off trying to get in the Pig House, they're eating the abomination. Exactly. Well, you know, we don't want to go there because they might do that. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Because you see, the tables of stone that God wrote the law on, we don't know where they are. They're gone. But He's going to write His law on the table of your heart, which is eternal and is never going to go away. The glory is going to be demonstrated in your life. Do you get this? The glory of God is going to be demonstrated in your life by your living the Torah, by your having His laws on your mind and in your heart. He's going to bring the glory. Moses came down from the mountain and he glowed, and they put a veil over his face because they couldn't handle it. That Holy Ghost glow should be coming out of us because the law is supposed to be written on our heart and branded in our minds. And it's supposed to be greater glory than that of Moses. And that lifestyle should mess everybody up. Jew and Gentile alike should marvel that we're willing and desirous and excited and eager and evangelical about living God's laws and commandments with the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, because of all the stuff we just read, therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. Why are we not bold? Because we don't have the hope. The hope brings the bold. The hope brings the bold. We are not like Moshe, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. The same veil remains. You wonder why folks can't understand why you want to keep the Torah? Their minds are made dull and there's a veil covering their face. They can't see Torah. You can. That's why you must demonstrate it in your life. There's a veil over the eyes of those on the outside. They can't see it. Their minds have been made dull to Torah. Even to this day, the writer says, you must demonstrate it by your actions and your life, because that's how you demonstrate the hope of Christ living in you. We're not supposed to cover the radiance that comes from the Torah observant spirit-filled life. We're not supposed to cover the glow that's supposed to come from us in our life. They covered it. We're supposed to let it shine like the full moon at Passover. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Only in Yeshua Messiah can the veil be taken away to the Torah. The Old Covenant, it's the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. It's the instructions for human life on planet Earth. It's how to carry your flesh. I hear the Christians all the time, oh, God's going to bless me. I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that, and He's going to do this and I'm going to do that, and everything's going to be this way. If you follow the Torah, then that's true. If you do not follow the Torah, that is not true. It's the opposite. If you follow the Torah, then all the blessings that you hear claimed in every church in America are going to come. If you transgress the Torah, then the curse is coming on you. And you will not get it out of your house. You can't break Sabbath and expect God's going to make your payments for you. You can't break Sabbath and expect that God's going to move in your life and give you dreams and visions. You can't eat unclean food and expect that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to burn with fire and conviction and power in your life when you have the abomination that makes desolate sitting on your heart. You know your anatomy, right? Stomach sits right here, right above the heart. Right on the heart. You put pig in there, you got pig sitting on your heart. It's the abomination that makes desolation. How is God going to let His power and His life manifest through you when you're breaking a commandment so aggressively in His face? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. How many of you realize that freedom comes under law? You cannot have freedom without law. You cannot have freedom without law. Our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is based on the Torah. The rights granted to every American come from the Torah. Your rights don't come from the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. It comes from right here. And men who were wise enough to codify this in our body of laws. Which one of you goes around saying, oh, I don't want to be under bondage to that old Constitution? Which one of you says, I don't want to be in bondage to the Declaration of Independence? No, every one of us is willing to fight for our constitutional, God-given rights because we know it's the guarantee. The Torah is the guarantee of your rights. The right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue happiness are granted in God's Torah. So when you say, I'm out from underneath that old law, friend, you just said you're in bondage to slavery. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We can't reflect the Lord's glory with unveiled faces unless the life of Jesus is living in you. And the life of Jesus living in you is not going to go out and work on Shabbat. It's not going to go out and eat the ham sandwich. It's not going to go out and break God's holy days. And it's not going to withhold His tithe. First and second. Why always go to second tithe? Because you can't keep the holy days without it. How are you going to keep the holy days if you don't have your feast tithe? How are you going to come and celebrate these days and do everything He said if you don't have the tithe set aside to do it? Some people say to me, I don't need a whole tithe to keep the feast. You're right, you don't. How are you going to provide for those in need who came in 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago and don't have any way if you didn't set your tithe back? He says to take your tithe and buy everything that makes your heart happy and that you can rejoice before God. And then He says, send portions to them who have none prepared. You don't have any portions to send if you didn't save your feast tithe. You got to have feast tithe to be able to take care of the people that come in without. And He always sends people with feast tithe to test who's willing to obey Him or not. Every year. Every year. When we come to the life, the Torah is open to our minds that we can understand it and live it. And this opening comes because of the Spirit of Christ inside of us. And the Holy Spirit transforms us from our body of death into His likeness full of glory. It said we're being transformed into His likeness. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with an ever-increasing glory. Is that what's manifesting in your life right now, that you are being transformed into Yeshua's likeness with ever-increasing glory? Is that what your neighbors see? Is that what your co-workers see? Is that what your unsaved family members see? Do they see the transformation process taking place in you so that you are reflecting Yeshua Messiah? Or do they see more of you and less of Him? We got to get rid of ourselves. It doesn't mean your personality. It doesn't mean the way you do certain things. But it's the will that says, I'm not going to obey Him. That's got to go. That's got to go. It's never done anything for you except get you in trouble and earn you death in the lake of fire. That's the only thing it's ever done for you. And the only way to get rid of it is just like the days of unleavened bread we're celebrating. The first thing you do is get the leavening out. Sin got to go. But if you stop there, you're insufficient because the second part of the commandment is to eat the unleavened bread. It is graphically showing you yourself has got to go in the trash can and His life has got to come in you. Because where his life comes in, it offsets your ability to bring your sin back in the house. See, that's a profound mystery. We're speaking the deep things of God, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. John chapter 6. I've read this all my life in the church, and I've read over it every time. I've been in church a long time. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Are you being taught by God? It is written in the prophets, you, at the end of the age, will all be taught by God. But how are you going to be taught by God if you don't hear His voice? How are you going to be taught by God if you can't hear His voice? And you didn't spend the time to learn. And you didn't spend the time to become intimate with Him in the holy place, in the secret place of God. We're all supposed to be taught by God. That teaching from God comes because we're intimate with Him in spirit. And this is so important. There's nothing more important we're going to teach. I talk about the law all the time, but that's only so that your flesh is prepared that you can have this intimacy. Once you have this intimacy, then you're going to understand that what I'm teaching you is not just true, it's profound. Because the more you conform your life to Torah, the closer and more intimate a yada you're going to have with Him. The bride's got to make herself holy, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. The spots, the blemishes, and the wrinkles are our transgressions of Torah. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. Okay? If you're not listening to the Father and learning from Him, you can't come to Jesus. See, you got to bring your life up to a certain level of Torah observance. You got to get Holy Ghost baptized so that you can hear from the Father and learn. That allows you to truly come to Yeshua for that intimate contact. Like Rockman said, if you want to get the same cake, you got to use the same recipe. Amen? Different recipes not going to get it. God's given you one and only one recipe to have intimate contact with the Father and the Son. And if you're going to have that, then you got to follow this recipe. And let me tell you, it works. It's not playing. It's not trifling. It's not some weirdo's imagination of some weird cult leader out in the middle of nowhere. This is the only way to access the living God. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father. And I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Do you believe? Do you demonstrate the actions in your life that show that I believe that Yeshua is the one sent by the Father? See, this is deep preaching right now. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because if your life doesn't demonstrate those actions, then you're telling everyone publicly, I do not believe Yeshua is Messiah. Your life has to demonstrate the actions required for you to say, I believe. When you deposit your paycheck into the bank account, do you believe the money's there? Why? Why do you believe the money's there? Because you got your deposit ticket. You went to the bank. You talked to the teller. You got the deposit ticket. What action demonstrates your belief? You write checks on the money. Some people actually believe they got more in there than they got. They wrote the check, right? Do you believe He's Messiah? Are you living Torah? Are you having intimate contact with Him? Do you hear His voice? Have you been yada with Him in the secret place? See, these are the fruits that follow. This is the children that you have to prove that you've done it. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Do you believe? Everlasting life. That means life inherent within yourself that cannot die. That's what everlasting life means. I tell you the truth, he believes, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. It's more than just taking the bread at the Passover. It's understanding the bread you take. and understanding your obligation. When you take the bread at Passover, you just obligated yourself to walk out Torah. When you take the unleavened communion bread at Passover, you just obligated yourself to walk out the Torah and to surrender your will and to do it His way. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. We're told, and we went over it, of how to discern the Lord's body. You must discern the Lord's body in that communion bread that we take. And He says that for that, we'll never die. That's profound to have the life of Jesus in us, that we never die. Verse 53, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. We need that life. We need His life in us. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has permanent life. And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Want to know how to abide in Christ? You eat your unleavened bread this week. You eat your unleavened bread this week. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Do you live because of Him? Are you feeding on Yeshua Messiah? The eating of the bread is a symbolic act of a need to take in His Holy Spirit continually. Oh, I received all that once, brother. Let me tell you a little secret. In the book of Acts, they received the Holy Ghost in a way none of us can even fathom. It was much more spectacular and much more powerful than anything any of us have seen. And yet, a couple of chapters later, they had to get refilled. Don't tell me you received it once and it's good enough. It's a continual filling of the Spirit of the living God that comes because you are willing to consecrate your flesh. The high priest had to offer the sacrifices twice a day for the Ruach HaKodesh to flow in Jerusalem. Taking Yeshua into our flesh by eating the Passover brings life into our spirit. Though our bodies will be dead because of our sin, once our spirit is joined with Yeshua, we will never die. There's something very miraculous in the Passover meal. There's something very miraculous in the eating of unleavened bread these 7 days. It is filling you with the life of Jesus. L'chaim, be'Yeshua. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. He's talking about your body. Got a new model out there. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. We need to be swallowed up by life. You don't have life. We need life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as the deposit. The earnest money. You know, you buy a house, you got to put a deposit down. Earnest money. Contract not valid without an earnest money. The Holy Ghost in you is the deposit guaranteeing the new model that's to come. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. It's not the life, it's the deposit guaranteeing the new life that He wants to give you and that you've got to ask to receive. Do you want to be swallowed up by life? Do you want to cross from death into life? Do you want to receive the life of Jesus in you? We have real life, true life, the life of the Son of God waiting for us. We know that our mortality is going to be overcome with the life of Yeshua. We know this because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And every time we feel the Spirit's move in our flesh, every time we feel the unction to pray in tongues, we know we have a deposit guaranteeing it. John chapter 5. Some people want church without any demonstration of the Spirit's power. They want intellectual church based around the Word. It's good stuff. We like the Word. That's not what impressed Rockman. Rockman was impressed with the Word, but what really impressed him was the Torah-observant people moving in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He said, "Brother, we have longed for this for generations, and none of us have ever seen anything like what you've got going on in this room right here. What I've been teaching you is not something I made up in my own mind. It's the greatest story never told from the pages of your Holy Bible. I was just crazy enough and stupid enough to follow the formula. And I've had people come against me, well-meaning or not, that have tried to get me to deviate and break one part of this formula or another because it fit their flesh a little better. But I'm here to tell you, God made my head hard like a rock." And Miss Holiday will remember she prayed for my head to be like flint. Watch what she prays for you, baby, because it's coming. Watch what Raina dreams, because you better take good notes. I refused to deviate from the formula because I saw the prize. I saw the prize. I saw what human beings could achieve in this life if they lived His commandments and got baptized to overflowing in His Spirit. And I saw how that combination is only mixed by the Hebrew roots. Wow. I gave Rockman a profound revelation last night, brother, because just as the ingredients in this oil will not mix unless you add salt, you can't mix Torah observant spirit filled without the Hebrew roots. Come on, somebody. That was a place right there. It's the salt that allows the ingredients to mix together. Otherwise, they don't mix. They don't mix without that. That was his blessing for the night. Verse 38. That's verse 39. That's my mistyping here. Well, that's 38 and 9. "Nor does His word dwell on you, for you do not believe the one He sent. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have the life." You cannot obtain the life of Jesus in you without a move of God's Holy Spirit. The words are great. The words are rules. They're laws. You follow them. It conforms your flesh. It prepares you to receive an additional outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if you're not going to get the additional outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're just spinning your wheels. The rules aren't there just for idle obedience. The rules are there to prepare your flesh to handle a fantastic and phenomenal life-transforming move in the Holy Spirit. And we have to come to Him with that Spirit to receive His life. Because Torah observance and Spirit-filled prepares you, makes you ready to receive the life. Oh, y'all didn't get that. It makes you ready to receive the life. He's not going to put His life in you while you're pulling mule on either or. You've got to bring the package together. And it's your demonstration of that in your life that shows Him you really believe He's the Messiah and that you really want to eat His flesh and take Him into your body. Think about it. What you eat turns into you. What are you eating? What are you eating? What you put into your mouth breaks down chemically and becomes the very cells of your body. What are you eating? What are you taking in? What are you allowing to come in through the eyes, the ears, and the mouth to become a part of your mind, body, and spirit? The rules prepare the flesh for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prepares your spirit to receive the life of Jesus in you. We just read too fast. Got to get my Bible in today. Zoom. Got to read the Gospels 40 times. Zoom. I do it too now. I'm not picking on anybody. I do the same exact thing. Get up in the morning, not awake yet, get my coffee, and then zoom. Then every now and then the Lord says, "Stop right here and get that." The only way to get his life is to get it from him. John chapter 4. The scriptures are supposed to lead us to the Spirit and to govern our conduct while we're in the Spirit so that we can have confidence in our experience in the Spirit. Did you get that? If you're not following the rules in the Torah, you can't trust what you get in the Spirit. Amen. The spirit world contains both the evil and the good. The Torah is your way to verify counterfeit versus genuine. See, I was a bank teller, and I had to learn how to look at dollar bills, U.S. currency, and to tell the counterfeit from the genuine. They made a lot of changes since then. I'm an old man now. The Torah is how you determine counterfeit from genuine in the spirit realm. The word that you get, is it real? The word that you get, is it just me? The word I got, was it from a spirit or from his spirit? The Torah is how you tell the difference. We all go to the passage where it says, every spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Let me tell you, there's lying spirits out there. There are lying religious spirits that will tell you Jesus has come in the flesh and they're from the devil. Every spirit that says that is not from God. That was the test at that time for that place and that heresy. You got a different spirit running around now, and Jesus told you in Matthew 24, many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. The Torah's how you can tell whether they're genuine. Because when the Spirit comes and says, Yeshua came in the flesh and you don't have to keep God's law anymore, the law says that's a lying spirit. John chapter 4 verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Do you want the living water? Do you want the life of Jesus in you? Verse 14. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you want the spring of water? Do you want to open up the spring in your heart? The Holy Ghost is a capped off well in the heart of most believers who have accepted Yeshua Messiah. And it's an artesian well, but you've got to peel the cap off and let that spirit flow freely through you and out of you into your surroundings. When enough believers begin to pray under the anointing and the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, then there is so much Holy Spirit that the presence of Yeshua Messiah begins to coalesce. That's why he says, when two or three of you agree in my name, I'm in the midst of you. Because you open up the box and let him out. Too many believers have him in a box, and he doesn't want to be in a box. You've got to open the box and let him out. You've got to open the box and let him out. The scriptures are not contrary to the spirit. They work together in harmony, because the better you carry your flesh in conformity, the more power in the spirit you're going to have. People want signs and wonders. I'm trying to explain to you how to get them. Verse 23. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Torah is the truth. What did Jesus say? Thy word is truth. What are his words? Torah. The Lord said to Moses, saying, tell the children of Israel, thus says the Lord. It's in quotations. It's his word. God is a spirit, or God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. This is the combination God demands. Either by itself is insufficient, as we see in churches all around the world. It takes both working his will to achieve in us a human being ready to receive life from Yeshua. Go ahead and stop and change that CD out.